Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been thinking together from two books from the New Testament known as the Travel Epistles. These are 1 and 2 Thessalonians. This whole section is known as the Travel Epistles, the book of Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Romans. Six books while Paul was on his missionary journeys. He began his journeys in about 45 A.D., and the first of the books was written in 48 A.D., when he received word from Galatia that the Galatian Christians were being tempted by false teachers who were teaching them they were to follow the law of Moses, that faith was all right, but they were to follow the law of Moses. And he says to them in chapter 5, in fact, of the book of Galatians, "You have departed from grace. The moment you depend upon anything else, the moment you add works, for instance, to your salvation, is you're living by works. And in this case, following the hundreds of regulations of the law of Moses, he said, you've departed from grace. And so those who today are following this false teaching need to very carefully consider this. Consider what Romans chapters 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 have to say. And also consider what the entire book of Galatians is saying about the law of Moses. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit in our lives, and we do not need to follow false teaching at all. And the Holy Spirit will lead us on in living the Christian life, living righteously before God. Now, we have come to this book of 1 Thessalonians. We're now down to chapter 4 in 1 Thessalonians. And in this lesson, I want to read chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. Some of you may be following this in your Bibles. "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would excel or abound more and more." That word abound means excel. Go beyond what you've ever done. Verse 2, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication," that is, from immorality, "that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord Jesus is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who has also given to us his Holy Spirit." Now, I want to stop our reading right here. We're taking this now, chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. Now, this passage was introduced at the end of chapter 3, at verse 13 of chapter 3, "to the end that ye may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." So we introduce the subject of holiness back in chapter 3, verse 13. And now he's going to discuss it more completely, this whole subject of holiness before God. And I want to emphasize this truth again and again. Every Christian is called to a life of holiness. And a lack of holiness, in fact, a complete lack of holiness, let me put it fairly, in the Christian life may indicate that that person has never really been saved at all. In the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 15, he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, what is he saying here? Does he say that if we ever fail, if we ever are tempted to sin and we do sin, that we lose our salvation or we're not saved? No, he's not saying that. What he is saying is, when a person has never been changed, when that person professes to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior, but his life has never been changed, he's never turned aside from the wickedness of his past, the sins of his past, from the realm of Satan, in other words, and he has no desire at all to please God and to live holy lives before God, then the possibility is that that person does not possess salvation. He may be a professing Christian, having raised his hand, having come forward or some such thing, or having prayed some little prayer to God. But in his own heart he has never truly been saved from his sins, born again by the Spirit of God. He's never truly trusted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. So holiness is a very important subject before God. And I want to just review this very, very quickly with you. Something happens when we're saved. We're not going to be perfect in our future. We're not going to live perfect lives. Until we face the Lord Jesus, we're not going to be perfect. I know there are some who teach sinless perfection, but there is no such thing. We're always going to be tempted before God. Now, I'm not excusing sin, but I'm saying that temptations will always be there. We need to recognize the temptations. We need to stand against them. And when we do yield to a temptation in our thought lives, in our feelings, in our attitudes, in our words, in our actions, or perhaps in the very motivations of our lives, when we do fail, we confess them before God, and we get right with God, and we go back to living a holy life again. So holiness, this idea of turning away from sin, and I'll be discussing this with you a bit in this lesson, but holiness is a very important part of the Christian life. And it's very important to God that when we are saved, that we should turn away from sin and desire, and then not only desire, but with the help of God, live holy lives before Him. So I'm speaking now to children, to young people. Many times young people might be tempted to feel, when I'm older, then I can get serious for the Lord. Thank the Lord, now I'm saved. But I still have things I want to do in my life. In other words, they're never willing to really completely separate themselves and dedicate themselves to the Lord. Many times I speak to large groups of young people, sometimes 200 young people, and these are professing Christians. Maybe 99% of them are professing Christians. But I'm aware that many of them are living worldly, carnal lives. In other words, they're taking their salvation as a means of going on in carnality until maybe later in their lives. And then they say, well, then I'll get serious for the Lord. We don't do that with the Lord. When we are first saved, we are still growing as newborn Christians, but we are to grow in the Lord, and we're to grow in our desire to please Him, and we're to grow in holiness, living pure, holy lives before Him. So I would challenge young people, keep yourselves pure in your teenage years. Set yourself before God, that you're going to keep your lives pure and holy. You will not go to places you should not go. You will not do things you should not do. You will not be with people you should not be with. In other words, you're going to be separated. You're going to please God and live pure, holy lives. Now let's come into this chapter now, verses 1 to 8. This subject of holiness is specifically and extensively dealt with in many, many different passages. You see this, for instance, in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. In Romans chapter 6, in fact, the entire chapter is devoted to holiness, but in verse 1, he's challenging these people. These people had misunderstood what grace was all about. As sin did abound, grace did much more abound. This is chapter 5, verse 20. And many people have misunderstood this. And the idea of chapter 6, verse 1 is this. Shall we continue in sin that grace may increase or abound? God forbid. How can we, who are dead to sin, live any longer therein? 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 to 20. Those two verses are very familiar to you folks, I'm sure. Verses 19 and 20. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. This is speaking again of holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16, where he says things like this, Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. In other words, we belong to a holy God, and holiness in our lives is a characteristic of belonging to Him. And God desires this for us, in order not to come before Him with prayer or with our lives themselves in any way except in a holy way. When people would go into the temple in the Old Testament, if they committed any sin in that temple, they could be killed. Even the two sons of Aaron died when they offered strange incense, they disobeyed God in the temple. God would not permit such a thing. Actually, they were not yet in the temple of Solomon. They were in the tabernacle in the wilderness. But in that place where the presence of God was, they dared to come in a false way, and they died immediately. God struck them down right there in the tabernacle. Then, of course, you see this again in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, and I've quoted this passage already. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And as I mentioned before, if this man's heart is turned completely to the world, and his desire is after sin, even though he professes to know Jesus as a Savior, probably he never has been saved. Now, I'm not trying to shame any one of you, but if you're listening to this program and you notice in your life that there's been no real change in your life, you may be a young person, a young adult, or an older person, but there's been no real change in your life. You're not really turned towards righteousness at all. Now, you may be growing as a Christian, let me be fair, but if there's no change in your life, you need to wonder, did I ever really ever trust Jesus as my Savior? So, you're going to see this in many passages. And then, we're also taught about the standards of holiness in many other passages. Galatians chapter 5, and chapter 6, in fact, of Galatians. And then Ephesians chapters 4 to 6. Colossians chapters 3 and 4. Even here in 1 Thessalonians, we're going to see the standards of holiness. They're brought out again and again and again. And of course, then when you study the general epistles, James, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, 1st and 2nd Peter, and Jude, these books are going to talk about the standards of holiness. Now, I want to also talk a little bit about this section. In chapter 4 of 1st Thessalonians, he points out, and he opens the subject, in fact, by pointing out that this is a major means of pleasing God. Pleasing God should be very important to us. The Apostle Paul says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Here is that I may please Him with my life, that God may approve of the way I'm living. And so Paul says, even in my labor for Him, I want to do it in such a way that I am pleasing Him, honoring Him with my life. In dealing with the Thessalonians, he's not doubting them. He's not doubting either their desires or the quality of their walk before the Lord. But he is emphasizing that they're never to be satisfied with past accomplishment in this area of their walk with the Lord, but they're to excel even more in everything. We're going to see this word excel. The word abound is used in the King James, but literally it means to excel, to go beyond, far beyond. We're going to see this in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4. We're going to see it again in verse 10. This idea of excelling. And there is this danger. I want to say to those of you who are spiritual Christians, and I want to say this to myself as well, there is a danger that we will become satisfied, self-satisfied. I've done enough for the Lord. I've served Him enough. I've grown enough in Him. What more does God expect of me? No, I'm reminded. I mentioned the idea of service, for instance. I'm reminded that to the end of my life, in some way, my wife and I are still to serve Him. We're still to honor Him. We may not always be able to come here to the island of Guam. We may not always be able to go back to the Philippines, to Hong Kong and Guam and Singapore 6 to 7 months every year. And in fact, even this fall, we may have to cut back a little bit. Even as old as we are, we may have to cut back a little bit. But nevertheless, until we face the Lord, we have never served Him enough. We can never say, it's sufficient. What more would God expect? Now, the same is true in the matter of holiness. We can never be holy enough before God. There will always be some temptations we're going to face. And this idea of being satisfied with past accomplishments, it's true, I do fail sometimes, but what more would God expect of me? I'm not perfect. I never will be perfect. We should not be satisfied with this. In other words, deal with those areas in your life where you are tempted from time to time and get victory over them. By the indwelling Holy Spirit, you can have victory over sin. Romans chapter 8 teaches this again and again and again, that God's Holy Spirit indwelling our lives is the answer to every need of our lives, including the need for victory over sin. So don't be satisfied in your lives. And if you are satisfied, get right with God in this matter. God, I still have part of my life to live. You may be an older person. You may have years, years that are limited somewhat to live. Or you may be a younger person, and God may give you many years to live. But whatever stage you might be in your lives, you are never to be satisfied with your past accomplishments, but you excel even more. Now, some reject and complain about this standard of God, which God has set for the Christian life. Holiness is shown to be the will of God, and it's God's desire and God's demand and God's command upon us. He demands this of us, and He commands us that we are to be holy. Be ye holy. I said again from 1 Peter chapter 1, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Some people complain about this standard. God expects so much of me, they say. And so they complain about this standard. Why does God lay this burden upon me? You might hear people say. I want to say this. You approach it from a positive standpoint. It is a privilege to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a privilege to have this relationship with God. It's a privilege to belong to His family, to have a loving Heavenly Father who daily watches over us and cares for us and meets our every need and blesses and helps us to go on in our lives in spite of difficulties that we might face. So don't ever feel sorry for yourselves in this matter. And whatever God asks of you, it should be something you joyously accept from God. God, whatever it means and whatever it will bring about in my life, let me put it that way, whatever it will bring about in my life, if I follow your standards, then God, I joyfully welcome these changes in my life because you've given me such blessing in my relationship with you, not only my eternal salvation, that when I die, I will not be ashamed, I will not be afraid, I will in no way fear the future. But it's in the Christian life itself. You daily provide me with your grace and strength, peace of heart, joy in living my life in spite of difficulties, and the blessings and the favor that you pour out from heaven. So you joyfully accept the fact that you are pleasing God, and pleasing God should be one of the passions, one of the greatest desires of your lives. Now my time is almost gone. I want to continue this study in our next lesson. But I want to point out to you this idea of holiness. Holiness is separation from sin unto righteousness, as we are living righteous, pure lives before God. So holiness is not just separation from sin. It's not emptiness in your life. I've emphasized this again and again. It's not being living a life that is empty, but rather is living a life pleasing to God. May God help you to desire and to have this as your passion in life, to be holy before God and to please Him.